when we were looking at the beginning of our series, I wanted to give you the foundations again that 1 John 5, a little bit later when we get into John later, only in the Son do we have life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life. That's a pretty tragic verse, isn't it, for people? You have the Son, you have life. You don't have him, you don't have life. And then remember Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. Now just to review a little bit, if I go the right direction here, the last part of Ephesians 5, when we were looking at it, said to be careful because these are evil days. He said, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And these are evil days, aren't they? And we better not act thoughtlessly. We better be careful what we say and what we plan. And we have to act like wise people. And so we just have to be careful. And these are days we certainly have to be careful, right? And we don't know all that that means, but be careful. And then Peter, 2 Peter 3:3 says, I want you to remind you that in the last days scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. And that's so happening today. And every once in a while, Gib will send me a video showing some of these mockers. And then they got their comeuppance too, didn't they? And that's what usually happens. And, you know, that's what's going on today, scoffers. And then he told Timothy to preach the word, give good teachings. He said, a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for teachers who will give them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And they will reject the truth and chase after myths. And that's happening today, big time, right? And if you just listen to me and send in your money, you will be rich and famous, right? And you will have health. And you will grow your hair. And COVID will disappear. Got to listen to those guys. You don't listen to the right movies. Okay, but good teaching. And then he said towards the end of Ephesians 6, stand firm, strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And then he said, put on the whole armor, the armor of God. And as you look down through the list there, that you can resist in this time of evil. And after the battle, notice this, you will remain still standing. And that's the important thing, isn't it? Still standing. Anyway, that's kind of the way it is. Put on the whole armor of God. So into 1 Peter. We're going to talk about sojourners. The first two verses, this is the letter from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. And his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ May God give you more grace and peace. What an introduction. And that's to people all over Asia. People that had come to believe. Most likely many of them were Jews, but not all of them. And if you remember the story of Peter, he was head of the church in Jerusalem, and he was the head of the Jewish believers there. But he was called, do you remember the vision that came out of heaven? He was called to go to the house of Cornelius. And in the house of Cornelius, who were pagan Gentiles, he went after God gave him a vision, tell him to go ahead and eat pork. He said, you can go with these Gentiles. You know, that was forbidden for Jewish people to have community relationship with Gentiles. So he went with a few other disciples to the house of Cornelius.
I always thought that was probably where the initial Christianizing of the Romans came from, because if you go back through the history, we were up at Salzburg in Austria, and they were talking about it just a few years ago. They found a tunnel at a catacomb clear down off the mountains. They dug it, and it was where the Roman soldiers that were Christian went down and to worship. And that was during the time, you know, after Jesus and everything. They were Christians, and they worshiped in a catacomb that they built so that they could do that. And I'm wondering if that wasn't perhaps a direct link to the Peter and Cornelius and the families there, because I think the Roman soldiers that were sent there, a lot of them, I would think, became either Jewish or Christian. It's kind of like how the Arabs and things have changed in Iraq and Syria and stuff, where they have come in contact with American Christians, American soldiers that profess Christianity. It's made a big difference.
Yeah, and you can see a lot of historical things like that kind of add up. And you remember, even in the Old Testament, as you've been reading it, the Lord told the people of Israel, if people became God-fearers and converted to Judaism back in David's day and others, they were to be taken care of and allowed the same benefits that the Jews had. And the outer courtyards of the temple was set aside for the Gentiles to worship. And that's why Jesus was so angry when he went into the temple and found them selling sheep and goats, which they were making profit on the people that had to travel far and couldn't bring their offerings to Jerusalem. And Jesus upset the money tables, you remember, and threw them out of the court. And he said, you have defiled my house. It's to be a house of prayer. And that was where the Gentiles worship. Also, you ladies could worship there too. Yeah, just in case you weren't. So anyway, that was a place of worship. And God, these people, God cleansed. And because they have been obeyed the Lord, he cleansed them. So anyway, thank you. You are one of these people. You and I are Gentiles, I believe. And that makes us accessible to God the Father because of what Jesus has done. So Peter's introduction here is pretty powerful. Just one of joy of the good people that the Lord has called to be part of his servants. And then in 3 and 4, he says, all praise to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. What a tremendous thing, inheritance. We have an inheritance. Ever think about that? Our inheritance will never fade away. Growing up in my family, we didn't have a huge inheritance. A little bit. Got a few things from my mom's house and from my dad's house before her second marriage, and when she married after my dad died. And there was a lot of stuff in the house, but there wasn't a lot that was worthy. And one of my nieces found a mouse in a bottle, died in a bottle that was after whatever was in there, some medicine or something. And there it was in the bottle. We were in the backyard burning the trash from the house. The fire department came. They thought we'd started a fire in the middle of the block, but we just had a burn barrel out there. Back then, you could use burn barrels, and that was the way we got rid of things. And they came a second time, but in that time, there was actually a fire in the VFW about two blocks up the street. So anyway, they kept visiting us and made sure that we were okay. Anyway, so anyhow, that was our inheritance. And the Lord has always been good to us, even how little we had or how much we had. And so anyway, that's God's goodness. But this inheritance is beyond belief, isn't it? An inheritance preserved forever in heaven for us, and it will never change. Aren't we grateful that we have that inheritance? I don't understand it. I think about that, and you know, I'm pretty content and probably wrongfully with what we have now. You know, I'm pretty content with this world and this country where we live and our house, and we have heat and electricity most of the time, and we're pretty comfortable, aren't we? And we can have things that we like. And Robert was telling me earlier that there's a new God Is Not Dead movie out. And so in a couple of weeks, we'll be able to see that. And that's a good thing. And you saw on the screen earlier, the best Christmas pageant ever. I don't know whether it's still playing. I was going to look it up to see if it's still playing. It's still playing. And see it if you can. It is really good. And you'll laugh a lot. And probably be okay. When we were there, I laughed out loud, and John did too. And it didn't matter because there were only 8 people there. So we didn't disturb anyone. And but it's excellent. You'll enjoy it much better than the original. And it's fun. It's a fun. Anyway, enough of that. But we have an inheritance. And as I was saying, I can't imagine really what that is. Remember that song that was written for his father when he said, I can't imagine. I never can imagine. And then his statement in the song was so very true. Will I bow on my knees? Or will I, you know, what are we going to do? And I think about that when I see Jesus. He knows everything about me. He knows all my quirks and all my sins and all my evil thoughts and bad thoughts. Any of us ever have bad thoughts? Yeah. And he knows them all. But he still wants to have a cup of coffee with me. So anyway, enough of that. But what will heaven be like? And I'm sure that there's going to be a place. Jesus told his disciples, what did he tell them? I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I think about that. We've said it before. Jesus was a carpenter. Can you imagine what kind of a house he builds? I like to read about people who build log cabins. And I remember our friend Richard, he wanted to get a log cabin, and that's what he planned. Of course, it hasn't worked out for him because he's in a home, but that's what he wanted. So we have an inheritance, whether it's a log cabin or I don't want a palace. I'm not interested in a palace. I'm just interested in a safe place, loved by people, and able to spend the time. I don't know whether we'll be cuddling with our wife up there or not. That would be fun. Anyway, that's an inheritance that we have. And then in verse 5, he said, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all of us to see. The last day. And that's when we will see our inheritance. When he comes and sets up his eternal kingdom, then we will see what our inheritance is. And he'll protect us. Now, in the world in which we live, those of us who live in the United States have been pretty protected, haven't we? And we have a godly inheritance right here in this life, and he's protecting us. He's protecting us. And some people have a sign in the yard that says, this home is protected by Smith and Wesson. And there's a picture of a gun on there. I've got one in my garage. I'm afraid to put it out on the door of the garage, but as soon as you open the garage door, you see it. And it said, prayer is the best way to find the Lord. Trespassing is quicker, with a gun pointed at it. So I like, that's my sign right in the front of my garage when I open the door. And so if someone wants to steal from the house and come in the garage, they're going to be faced with that sign. And so anyway, and then I've got a neighbor across the street that's liable to take them out too. I wouldn't mention any names, so.
I'm thinking that salvation isn't just to be revealed on the last day, because John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true Lord Jesus Christ. So if we know him now, he is with us. We have eternal life beginning.
Right now, yes. But the journey in the home in heaven won't be revealed till the last day. So that's what he's talking about here, too. So you're exactly right. We have that home right now, don't we? And we have Jesus within us. So that is...
Not yet.
Yep. So anyway, we're protected. And then in 6 and 7, he said, so be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Excuse me. these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. On that day, it'll be finally over, right? The trials and the temptation. And I think about the journey in life, the pilgrimage we are on. Some of us have trials, some of us have few, some of us have a lot. And those trials prove our faith, and then can we have joy? Beyond happiness, joy is greater than happiness. And I'm making this personal. When you think about Andy, his trials are greater than any of us, I think, have faced. I pray for him daily that the Lord will heal him, and you do too. And so, you know, it's up to God to do what he wants to do. And I leave it in his hands. I can't make the decision. I'd like to. If it were my sins, if I do be healed, that doesn't seem to work.
But sometimes, even in the worst situations, Andy is in that bad situation, but he's still a testimony to Jesus because his faith has remained solid, and that's the testimony that he's giving.
Yep.
Might not be able to get out and do it for everything, but his testimony is still strong.
Yep. And when some of us get to be 100 or older, we can't do the things we used to do. And most of us don't want to either. And so anyway, you know, recliner chairs are pretty nice when you get to that age. Chad has something to say.
I was just thinking about that verse that says, trials may come for, I just forgot it. Trials may come for a day, but joy comes in the morning.
Exactly. And that's what this is saying, isn't it?
When I go through trials, you know, we've gone through a lot of them, but I think it's just a little while.
Yeah.
And what's ahead? I can endure it a little bit. And then I think of when I try to get up and struggle through and do work in the house that I know I need to do, but I don't want to do it. You know, I think of those. This is off the cuff, but I think of those poor ladies in concentration camps. How they, they're old. They're made old before their years, but they had to get up every day and go out, you know, for their life. And I guess I can do. I'm not that bad yet.
Yeah, and if you read the story of Corrie Ten Boom, and how they were in the dormitory, you know, stacked up like logs, but their cabin had fleas, so the guards didn't come in. So they were able to have their prayer and their devotions and, you know, the things they remembered that the guards didn't take it away from them. Anyway, Gibbs family have a bunch of bucks that they killed. So they're going to have a good venison Thanksgiving, I suppose. Is venison on, was that on Peter's list? I think it probably was. What was that?
Well, it's a cloven hoof and chews its cud, so it should be legal.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah. Cloven hoof, and it does chew its cud. So therefore, it was a clean animal to begin with. So anyway, I think venison would be good for, what's a turkey? Turkey has to not be on his list. Anyway, enough of that. But he says, notice this, that after you have endured the fire, you'll be purified as with gold, and you can bring glory. And notice this, wonderful joy ahead. And that's what we're saying about Andy. He has that joy in his heart. And thank you for Louise to take care of him.
Well, I was just thinking about it. You know, we talk about the first Thanksgiving dinner, and it always shows turkeys and everything. There weren't any turkeys for the first Thanksgiving dinner. They had a list of it, and the tribe, they brought in, I think there was a whole about 25, 30 warriors that came in to celebrate with them. Well, they can eat a tremendous amount. They went out and killed a whole bunch of deer and other animals and stuff and brought it in. They didn't have turkey in the first Thanksgiving. Not that they probably wouldn't have, but.
Yeah, but that's part of the fantasy that we build.
And they didn't want any lobsters because they'd had so much lobster. That's what they'd lived on for a while.
They used to
pile them up on the shore and burn them because they couldn't stand them.
Yeah, there you go.
All of us here will have wonderful joy come Inauguration Day.
We will. Anyway, that'll be a day of joy for our country, right? A day of joy. We can thank the Lord because it's all his doing. Remember, he's the one that Scripture says he sets kings up and he tears them down. And, you know, I think about our poor president now, Biden. I do pray for him. I don't like him. I don't respect him. But because of his office, I do pray for him. But there will be joy ahead. And we can laugh, can't we? We can laugh.
And we can say, we that work for the government again, can say Merry Christmas and stick it up your nose if you don't like it.
Exactly.
But we couldn't do it when Obama was in. As soon as Trump came in, it was like a breath of fresh air, and now it's back. And we can, and we've been saying it all along, but, you know, some people get all excited about it. Nope, not anymore. We can say Merry Christmas all we want.
Yep. And you remember what happened in Faircrest during that time when they made them take out that Christmas scene from their community area there, right across from the fire station. And so those are evil. And if you watch TV, even the fun movies about Christmas, they're all about just presents and gifts and fun times. And in most cases, they never remember that it's about Jesus. And they sing all kinds of, we wish you a Merry Christmas, but not anything about Jesus.
Well, this is a little off of Christmas, but we have a, Juanita and I have kind of a personal thing on that. In the town, Colville over there, they put up a cross back in the 60s, late 50s, early 60s. It was lighted. It was on the hill above the town.
In the town driving through, you can't miss it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's beautiful. The land they put it on was apparently city or county property. No problem. Until about 10 years ago now, one guy, I disagree, this is up there, that's showing you're allowing Christianity, and he's a atheist and all this. Well, they took the cross down. They moved it about 20 yards or less to a private chunk of land that was up there and put it up. Drives a guy crazy. You can't hardly tell it had been moved, but they just moved it over there. The guy says, yeah, put it up on this.
So you still see it.
You see it. It's bright and shiny. We got pictures of it. Just, but it is.
Just the same height, huh?
Same place, same height, just over a few feet.
I had a picture of it, and I put, that's what Jack had in his room on the wall. I had a picture of it.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, we in the first church that we had in Rosamond, California, there was a big hill outside of town, and the Boy Scouts put a cross up on that hill, big metal pipe cross. We used to have community sunrise services up there with all the churches together and the people together. And I don't know whether, I'm assuming it's still there. I haven't been down there for a while, but I'm assuming it is still there. Because the community itself was very strong about keeping that there and not letting anything happen. So anyway, they moved a new church out near that area, so I'm assuming that it is still there. Our old church was moved out to there. Anyway, that's it. But there is joy. And we have joy coming with this Christmas season. And our joy is based upon God's word. And that's why quite often we will read the gospel story, Luke 2, on Christmas Day. And that's a tremendous truth, isn't it? Joy. Remember what it said in John 16:33. He said, I've told you all this, talking to the disciples, so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And we know John's gospel. We know how he in just so much builds the right picture of who Jesus is. And Jesus told them, you're going to have many trials. And that's what Peter was reminding us, in this world we'll have many trials, but joy. And joy comes in the morning. Remember that song, Joy Comes in the Morning? And the morning that that song is talking about is when Jesus returns. Joy comes in the morning. So anyway, we'll stop there. That's a good stopping place. And I knew that this is probably where we would have to stop this morning. And as I was working on this message, I got excited about 1 Peter again. That's one of my favorite chapters, 1 Peter 1. And he's given us a blessed hope there, isn't it? And so anyway, we'll go on and we'll remember to see the things that Peter tells us. And we need to remember that we need to be ready. We'll see all of these things happening in this world. Jesus is coming right at the door, it says, and we've seen that for years. And then he said he's the Alpha and Omega. And Father God, we have so much to praise you for. Thank you for giving us hope and joy in this life, and the eternal hope that will never fade away, kept safe in heaven for us. Thank you for what Peter tells us about that. So thank you for your word. Thank you for the fellowship and the joy that we have together in this assembly, the assembly that others are experiencing all over today. Thank you that we are one with you. And thank you that you have given us peace because of your mercy and grace. So lift up our hearts today and help us to honor you and thank you for your word, which is absolute truth, and for living where we can make it free for all of us. So walk with us as we are still pilgrims in this journey. Walk with us and remind us that we're your own children. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. Shalom.